Well, when they asked me down there, am I healthier when I eat that? And I said, well, sure. I go home and I stand in front of the mirror and I say, Charles, at last. And that's the way I feel today after this luncheon. If I would give you the word guarantee, you perhaps would, I'm sure you're familiar with it. I've had a lot of experience with the term guarantee. You buy something in store, they guarantee it. Some stand in back of it and some don't. More often, well, I should say more than half of the time, 3/4 of the time, I've had pretty good luck with a guarantee. But I would have to say the last one that I had experience with, well, let's just say I had to go home and repent because of the things, terms and analogy that I used. It irks me when people try to sell something and use a guarantee as a selling point and then don't stand in back of it. It's lies, it's lying and cheating and fraud. I just don't like it. So I went home and I told my wife about it. And she says, when she was living that this happened, when I said, she said, well, what are you making a big deal out of something that's $30? And I said, well, it's the principle of the thing. And it is. It's not right. But what if I would give you a scripture today that you could take home as a guarantee? Let's go to the book of Revelation, because there's a scripture there that we can take to the bank. Revelation chapter 19, or chapter 21, and in verse 19, and verse 27. Revelation 21. In verse 27, and it says, and there shall in no way enter into it anything that defiles, neither he that works abomination or makes a lie, but they who are written in the Lamb's book of life. You know, when we repented and said we were going to live God's way of life, and we were baptized, and we were given God's Holy Spirit, at that point, our names were written in this book, in that book of life. Now, there's only one person that can take our name out of that book, and that's ourselves. Only we can do that. Well, some have said, well, no, Christ erases it. That's true, but what did we do that made Christ erase that name? Of course, it's sin. We understand that. It's sin. And that's why these days of unleavened bread are so important. They remind us of what sin is, how horrible it is, and it can take us right out of the book of life. You know, we're going to go back home after this last day now again. We've got to go back into Satan's world, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. I seldom watch anything on television any longer. I'm a satellite dish. It's the only way I can get television and decent things. I watch the History Channel. There isn't anything else on there to watch that's of any value. But we're forced to live in this world. And that's why I feel so strongly about what these days mean in picture. They're for our good. They're not something that we should take it as a punishment from God. Sometimes, many of us have to drive a long ways to gather here. That's for a reason and a purpose. Not everyone, of course, is written in that book now. But we understand that God has a plan in all this. He wants everybody to be in his kingdom. But at this point, we're so privileged to understand what's going on here in this world, why things are the way they are. We're the only ones in this world that seems to understand that. And you know the situation now it's over in the Koreas, in Korea? That can break out in something any moment. And it could be a big problem. This plan, you know, of salvation, you can go way back to the book of Deuteronomy. And we understand that that covenant there was more of a physical one. Just physical. Blessings and cursings. The one that we are under, that's a spiritual covenant. That's just for real. This is life or death. You know, back in the old covenant, he said, you know, I give you, call heaven and earth. Choose blessings and cursings, life or death. Which one you want? He says, choose life. And we got the same choice today. But it's going to take effort. This is why it's so important that we understand what these days mean in picture for us. It's for a reason that we have to, you know, understand them more fully. In the very beginning, God says to the Israelites, choose life. I want to give you today three ways to help us to keep our name in that book of life. Three ways to help us do that. Number one, remember God's great love and mercy he has for us. Now, we just came out, you know, had the Passover service. And it pictured, you know, so explicitly the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. That horrible, horrible beating and crucifixion. They had some on television, you know, about the crucifixion these last week. It pictures somewhat of what it was like, but they can't even come close. Not in reality is what it was. And I feel so strongly that when we go back out into this world, when Satan tempts you for something, bring to back into your mind and your thinking the horrible things that Christ went through so that we could have that sin forgiven. And he can give us the help to do, temptation as it goes on in life. Think about Christ and the suffering for us. You know, I brought along today, if I can find it. I had when I went to school, believe it or not, I did go to school for a while. Well, let's just say I was schooled at home. I brought along an eraser. This, at first, this was this long. I wore it down when I went to school. But we can erase our name out of that book if we allow it to happen. But at the same time, God uses an eraser like this. When we sin, he knows we're going to sin when we go home again. He'll use an eraser to take the sins we've committed, and you won't even see him again. He doesn't even see him again. This is how important and how meaningful the sacrifice of Christ was. We didn't have nothing like that before Christ's perfect sacrifice. And that was brought out at the Passover service. How, and it helps me, let's put it that way. It helps me when I am tempted by Satan, and he does it whenever he can get to me all the time. I have to go back and say, now who gave me the, you know, the forgiveness of sin and what I've done here? Well, it was Christ and that sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice. That helps me to combat Satan and his temptations. Because I say to myself, what kind of a person would throw that sacrifice away? And he did it for nothing. You know, he did it voluntarily. That's something to think about. I like to think as well, when I'm tempted, about how bad sin is. Before I came into the church, I didn't know anything about none of this. Sure, in the Catholic, you understood some of it, but it was all so watered down. Not the reality of what it was really like. And if you can recall when he was on the stake, when toward the end of his life, when he said the term, my God, why have you forsaken me? I'm sure most of you understand what that meant. When God completely withdrew himself because he could not even bear it to look at Jesus Christ, his own son, because of the enormity and the horribleness of sin. So when I'm tempted, I bring these things to my mind. That helps me to stay focused. That helps me. A second point, I titled it, Christ has to dwell in us. Christ has to dwell in us. The first one was, remember God's great love and mercy. The second one is Christ dwells in us. We have to have that. That was brought out as well in the Passover service. I'm sure you recall it. Over in the book of John, John chapter 15. And we can begin in verse 1. He says, I am the vine, a true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges, that it may bring forth more fruit. On the farm, I have a grapevine, and I'm not an expert on pruning vines. But I know it's necessary to do it because it gets overgrown with fruit that doesn't bear anything, vines that don't bear anything. But I'm learning that how to do it more and more. The first time I pruned it, I didn't get any fruit at all the next year. I did wrong. Last year, I had a ton because I pruned them different. I learned. This is why. An example for us. Sometimes we have problems in life, trials. It's for a reason. We've learned to build more and more the character of Jesus Christ. And that's the whole purpose of why we're in the church. One of the main purposes, anyway, to build the character of Jesus Christ. And we do that if we bear our trials patiently. And it brings forth more fruit. Let's go to verse 4. He says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except you abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. More and more, we have to let Jesus Christ rule our lives. You know, when Jesus Christ said to the people that were following him, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. They didn't, after that it says a lot of people, they just left. They couldn't understand that. They thought it was a physical thing that he was talking about. But it's not, it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual, God's in you. That's spirit in you. In verse 5, he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. If you go through this here, there's four different fruit elements in this chapter that we have to, grow in. And that's important. Verse 8, it says, you bear much fruit, and so forth. But there's a verse 16, it says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whoever you ask in my name, Father's name, he will give it to you. And there's another aspect in there. It says in 17, it says, these things I command, that you love one another. You know, the world, it seems, is lacking. The entirety of the world is lacking on this right here. The love that human beings should have for one another. I have never seen, sometimes I think Wausau is getting as bad as the worst slums in Chicago, the way it's going. Heroin is getting to be a big problem up in Wausau. What is the solution? Well, I don't know. I wish I knew this physically in this age a solution. I talk with people when I go out and eat. Believe it or not, I get people started on some of these things. And they're for capital punishment, many of them. I talked to a police officer, and he says if we don't get back to that pretty soon, there's going to be a revolution in this country. Because a lot of people are just getting fed up with it. And they say, well, these drug dealers, if they have an execution right in the public square, maybe it would solve some problems. We know that it's not the answer. The answer, of course, is the kingdom of God coming to this earth. But are we hindering that in some way? Is the church ready for the kingdom of God to come? Do we have fully, Jesus Christ dwelling in us yet? I'm afraid I don't. I read some of these scriptures, and it scares me when I look at myself comparing to what Christ said we should be. It scares me. I don't know what the answer. I know the kingdom of God is the answer. He says, unless Christ dwells in us, he says, we'll take, prune us and go into the lake of fire. It says in verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. That's serious stuff. That's serious stuff, and that scares me when I see that. Am I doing enough? And it's something that each and every one of us should ask ourselves that question. Are we doing enough? It isn't just the letter of the law we have to be keeping. It has to be up here in our mind. It's the spiritual intent of it all. The third one I have here. Let's go over to Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 10. And in verse 25, you probably knew where I was going already. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. The third one I have is remember the Sabbath day. I know Mr. Dowd is concerned about it. He mentions it off and on up in Omro, that people don't take serious enough the importance of that Sabbath day. What Christ said, he made it for man. Why? So that more and more we get to become like Jesus Christ. That's the reason for it. It's for us to grow, to be corrected, to bear fruit like we were just talking about. That's the purpose of it. Beside not, We're supposed to be helping one another bear their burdens. Now, how, if you don't come to the Sabbath day and know what one another's burdens are, how are you going to pray for them? How would we know that Mrs. Schreiber is sick again if we didn't gather together on the Sabbath day? That's why the Sabbath is so important. That's why God says the Sabbath is made for man. We are here to grow, to be corrected. You know, you could have a whole entire sermon, I think, on just the importance of the Sabbath day and what it means. You know, to get together with people of like mind. When you're living all alone, no one else around you embraces the truth, that's not easy to handle. And I know when I miss the Sabbath day, that is a big hole for me the rest of the week. Because it helps, I don't know, bolster up the rest of the week for me. I can, you know, it increases everything, you might say. We have so many things, you know, to be thankful for. Again, you know, I gave a sermonette once. You can't see this. This is one of my pearls of my wife. She used to wear when she was living. And when Christ said, well, let's go to Matthew 13, where we'll begin. We got pearls here of Christ that the envy of the world. He says in verse 45, the kingdom, he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking fine pearls. And when he had found one pearl of great price, he went out and sold all that he had, and he brought it. The Sabbath day is one of these pearls. The days of unleavened bread are two more. Pentecost is another one. Trumpets is another one. Atonement is another. First and last day of unleavened bread are two more. That's just the days that we keep. The knowledge of the kingdom of God that we possess, we should cherish like this entire necklace. That's why I maintain the Sabbath day is so important. It keeps us focused on what we have. Don't let anybody take your crown. You have these pearls. You have the knowledge of what we have. You have your name written in the book of life. Nobody else can erase that but you. But if you neglect what God has given to us, the knowledge of the truth, the Sabbath, the days of unleavened bread, all the other holy days, we can be so endangered of losing that crown. I'm talking from experience here because I've known people who have neglected the Sabbath. They were so wishy-washy about it. That's a dangerous, dangerous path to go on. Gather together on the Sabbath day, if at all possible. Many of you, I'm sure, have to get up. If you have services in the morning, you have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get there. I understand that. But it's not in vain. You're making a crown that you can be proud of. If we would continue to do these things, you know, it's a guarantee. You can take that guarantee that it's in Revelation where we started. You can take it to the bank because, you know, Christ said, your names are written in that book. Don't discard it. Don't throw it away. I don't want to speak too long, but I'm sure that Mr. Green would have a lot more to say. But there's another pearl, though, that we have here that the world does not have as well, and that's God's Holy Spirit. I know I get in discussions sometimes where I eat, and of course they think it's a Trinity and all that. And they're so lost, they don't understand the power of God. And you can explain to them, I can go through all these scriptures with them. It's a blank. It seems so the veil comes right over their face when you start talking about it. It happened to my nephews. They're so disgusted with the church that they go to. And from time to time, he'll come out and we talk together. Because he sees, I'm not like I used to be. He sees that. There's things I'm not proud of. And that's why the sacrifice of Christ is so important. But I talked to him, and I started explaining the holy days, and it just seems as though a veil comes right over his face. It doesn't register. If it was, when he is called, I can guarantee you he will make a wonderful addition to God's church. He'll be a pearl in God's church. You can look at yourself and look at these pearls and look at yourself and say, I'm a pearl in the plan of God, in God's kingdom. You can say that because you are. In God's eyes, you are. He's building a crown for each and every one of us. I guess it's so. I know I get wrapped up in this sometimes and get excited and worked up because I feel so strongly about it. This world needs a new heart. The entirety of the world needs a new heart, a new makeover. You are the only ones in this area that have it. I had a sermon, last Sabbath, about the heart. And I raised the question, did God open up the door of our mind first, or did he give us a heart to accept the truth? I don't know. Maybe you can answer that. I don't know. I know he gave me both. If he wouldn't have given me a heart transplant to understand and appreciate his truths, I would not have accepted it. I don't think so. You got to have a heart to accept the truth. You have to be humble enough to say, I was wrong. You have to be humble enough to admit you're a sinner. You have to be humble enough to say, I'm the one that crucified Jesus Christ. And if you would have been the only one that was ever born on this earth, you would have died. That's the way you have to look at it. And it's only, you have to have an attitude like that, because it is only a humble person that can really appreciate what we have, to make every effort in the world to get to the Sabbath day, to appreciate the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and more want God and Jesus Christ living in you. It's not easy. There's challenges and problems that come up that I can't believe. I think it was Mr. Wunderland. He had the sermonette last week too, and he was explaining the trial he had to go through just at his calling. And it was so parallel with what my wife and family had to go through. It was scary almost. But like God says, he'll move mountains. And he did. In my case, he moved a mountain. And I can't throw that away. I won't. Not if I can help it. I'll use everything in my power to hang on to these truths. I'll do everything in my power to go to the Sabbath. I'll do everything in my power to keep these holy days and appreciate them more and more. We got an awesome calling. And if we put these things in practice, it'll be a guarantee in Jesus Christ that we'll be in that book of life when he comes back to this earth. Don't throw it away. Only you can take your name out of there. Only you can erase it. So hang in there. There's a better world coming. I appreciate this table that they set up here.